again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I would like to discuss with you something my pastor has been talking about at my church here in Birmingham, Alabama, and it's been very interesting because he's been doing a series called The Scandal of Christmas. Now, at first, when I heard this message of The Scandal of Christmas, I was thinking to myself, you know, what is this going to mean? You know, what does this mean exactly? And he gave a great analogy, great presentation on dealing with the fact that we look at Christmas as so cute and so beautiful, as this little baby, and here's the mother, here's the father, they're sitting in the manger, all is well, and we never stop to really realize the scandalous part, the dangerous part of this story that was rough and tough and not easy to deal with. And yet we look at it as a silent night, holy night, but in reality, folks, it wasn't a silent night. This was a really rough story we're dealing with. And the reason why I want to share this with many of you today on the broadcast is because I know many of you are going through hard times. And I know many of you are struggling here at Christmas. You're struggling financially. You're trying to figure out, you know, why is all the hell, you know, in my life here? Why is just, it seems as if the gates of hell just opened up and swallowed me up, you know? I don't have any money. I can't seem to find a job. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And so I wanted to talk to you guys about this today to let you know that, you know, when we look around in life and we look at other people's lives and we think to ourselves, you know, other people have it easy. Let's look at how the Son of God had it when he entered into the earth realm. Let's look at his life and his reality. And so we're going to deal a little bit about the scandalous part of Christmas. Now, let's go back for a moment of Mary's pregnancy. Let's look at the aspect that Mary got pregnant, and yet in reality, folks, guess what? Here is a woman, and we really don't know why God chose it this way. We really can't really figure out why God would choose a situation that looks as if there's a woman that broke the law. And yet, we understand today that we can say to ourselves, well, you know, women should not get pregnant before they get married or, you know, are in covenant with somebody. We get that. But in reality, God chose to sort of do something that looked as if it was against the law, did he not? Because think about it. He caused the Holy Spirit to come upon Mary, overshadow her, impregnate her, and yet, so Mary at that moment on was targeted in a very scandalous situation of that day that nowadays we have grace and peace. No problem. We see people get pregnant all the time out of wedlock. It doesn't make it right, but yet, you know what? It happens. And yet we go on, do we not? There's grace there. We don't have to stone them. They're not worried about being killed or thrown into jail. But back in the day, folks, here is a girl now who is pregnant and cannot prove whatsoever in the natural, you know, that she did not sleep with a man. She can't prove these things. And so all of a sudden, guess what? During the scandalous time of her life, you know, she went through the odds of basically beating the odds of really looking at herself saying, you know, here I am going by faith to really say, I do accept this God. You know, when we say, according to your word, so be it unto me. What does that mean? Let me tell you something. Many of you who have been struggling, many of you who have been fighting for jobs, many of you wonder, why is all this stuff happening to me today? Why can't things be better? You know, the seasons that I've had, it just seemed as if it was one tragedy after the next. Things went horrible, things went bad, but yet you wonder, why me, God? Well, let's look at the situation here that Mary was in. Let's look at the situation that here is a woman by faith who said, you know what, God, I understand. I live in a time frame. I live in a reality here where I can truly be killed. I mean, I can be put to death. I can be stoned to death because I have no proof that if I was to tell somebody, hey, guess what? Really, I haven't been sleeping around at all. The Holy Spirit came upon me and impregnated me, and I'm carrying God's baby. Let's face the reality of it, folks. How many of us would look at that woman and say, you have lost your sanity. You need to be locked away. That's not reality. It's not going to happen. But you know what? She went against the odds by looking at God and saying, according to your word, God, so be it. Which here's what this means. It means she came to the place in her life to say, what is more important to me? the fame and the luxury of just entering to this amazing marriage with this, you know, with this guy named Joseph, or coming across having a really good life here, you know, or going against having a good life, so to say, making it pleasant, making it nice, and go ahead and say to myself, you know what, God, I choose your will. I choose your word. So did God do something to a young woman that would jeopardize her life? Absolutely he did. Did God do something to a woman who looks as if in the natural would give a really bad reputation? Absolutely he did. But yet when we look at the entire situation, folks, we have to understand, and this is what I want you to understand in your life right now, through your struggles, your trials, your tribulations, your story, your journey. It might look rough right now, but we have to understand that, do we choose God and the way that He decides to use us and carry us through things of life, that we can learn, that we can begin to go forward and do the things we need to do according to His perfect will for our lives? Or do we choose the luxury, the fame, the fortune, the easygoing looking mentality to where my reputation's on the line, God? You know, Mary went against the odds to say, hey, you do realize that once you come upon me, I have no choice here. In other words, I have no way of defending myself against these people, my own community, people who watched me grow up. I have no way to defend myself to prove to them, this is your child, that I was impregnated by a spirit. How on earth would I prove that to people? She went against the odds and realized my reputation is going to look pretty ruined. But God, here's the thing that we don't stop to realize. God always has a plan in the ending more than we see it at the beginning. Now I want you to remember that and write that down. God has a plan that will unfold to you at the ending more than we understand about that will and that purpose and plan for our lives in the very beginning. And the reason why, because God knows the ending from the beginning. And there's times that we cannot see. The Bible says to have an eye to see and an ear to hear, which means if we cannot really perceive in the Spirit to understand by divine revelation of what God is doing, what God is saying in our lives, we have to come to that place to say, I trust you, God. I trust you. I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to have a woe is me mentality. I'm not going to say, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. You know, we don't need to have that type of mentality because we trust God. That's not trusting God. When we trust God to say, I know, God, that you know what's going on and you have it all under your control. And when I come into full agreement with that acknowledgement that I say, by faith, I trust you. By faith, I believe in you. Then you know what? I have no room to complain. I have no right to complain, because when I complain, every time I complain, what's going on is I'm saying to myself, you know what? I really didn't mean what I said. I really don't trust him. I really don't have the faith to believe that he can move this mountain. I really don't have the faith to believe that on this journey of life, he will find me a better job. But why am I saying that? Because of the fact we don't stop to realize that any time we complain, we're doubting. We're doubting. Now, does God know we're going to doubt because we're humans? Absolutely. But you know what? As a human, we have to fight the good fight of faith to counteract that, to say, no, you know what? According to your word, so be it unto me, God. No matter how it looks, no matter how my reputation might sound at the moment, at the end, it's going to be awesome, because you're going to turn all things around for my good, and it's all going to be for your glory, God. It's all going to be for my good and your glory. So at the end of the day, Mary lived a very scandalous life. And yet when you look at that, you have to understand she took the risk, folks. She took the risk of what? Of literally being stoned to death. She took her life into her own hands to believe this voice that she called her Heavenly Father, to believe an angelic voice, to know this is God speaking to me through this angel. I'm going to receive it because I trust in Him. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so I trust Him. And Mary had that kind of faith. And that's the kind of faith, folks, we need to have, is understanding that your life might be a little scandalous right now. You might have done things, or maybe you were like Mary. Maybe you didn't do anything, nothing at all. Maybe you could look at yourself and say, don't drink, don't smoke, you know, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't cuss, I don't swear, you might look at yourself and say all these biggie name sins that you don't do, and say, I have a pretty good reputation, my credit's good, everything's looking good, but all of a sudden, guess what? You can come into full agreement agreement with God and say, God, I remember you told me this. You just spoke this to me and said, this is going to happen and that's going to happen in my life. And the moment you come into full agreement with God, it's not the fact God's going to say, okay, time for all hell to break loose in your life. No, it's not. Doesn't always mean that. It means that when you come into full agreement, you have given permission for God to move upon you. Because of the fact, sometimes, in fact, really every time, folks, every time, in order for you to plant something, you're going to have to root up. If I go outside right now, for example, and I look at the ground and say, I'm just going to plant an apple seed right here that maybe it'll grow. I'm going to plant some flowers right here. No, because if I do that, it's going to be choked eventually by the weeds, the ivy, the different things around it that maybe could be hibernating in the ground, could be dormant in the ground that I didn't see. You have to what? Prepare the soil. Get an area where there's no, like the Bible says, spot, wrinkle, or blemish, which means get an area where there's no hindrance there to the seed, to where the seed has no warfare it's going to have to deal with, but it will be able to grow, it'll be able to be nurtured, and it'll be able to be fully grown and activated in what it's called to be and be doing its life. And so when you look at life, you have to realize that even with Jeremiah, and before God says, Jeremiah, before you build, you're going to have to root up. And so in order for you to plant, you have to root up, folks. And when you look at life, you might say, all is well, things are great. But God can look at you and sit here and say, hold on a minute. These things that are operating in your life right now that are very good, down the road, they're going to take you down a road you don't want to go. They're going to take you for all you're worth. These friends you have in your life, they're going to steal and rob from you blind. Down the road, you know, this spouse you have, you know, he's doing this on the side or she's doing that on the side. Folks, you just never ever know. The things right now in your life that look like they're good, they're acting amazing, life is grand, your business is going awesome, your job is, looks like it's going to give you promotion, you know, you've got money in the bank, you got security, your kids look good, you got a great house paid off. It doesn't matter. God knows what at the end of the day, what will harm you and hurt you more than you do. His eyes see in the future, your eyes see in the now. And so when you look at your life, remember, during these scandalous times, or non-scandalous times, God knows what's going on. And God rescued Mary, did not allow her to be stoned to death, but yet covered her with a man who had a dream named Joseph. The greatest thing about Joseph is Joseph was just like me and you, folks. Joseph was just like me and you. He came to the place where he said, I'm not going to marry her. I mean, my goodness gracious, me alive, you know? I'm not going to marry this woman. She claims she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Come on. What kind of flake or kook am I going to marry here, you know? When there's other pretty girls out there who are virgins, other pretty girls out there who don't have this issue. I mean, they're not flaky. They don't believe they're impregnated by Jehovah God. Come on. But guess what happened? Before he judged, he thought about it, pondered on it, meditated upon it, thought it through, and then here's what happened. First and foremost, let's look at that area for a moment. How many of you meditate, think things through before you react or respond? Hello? How many of you look at life and say, you know, before I make this judgment, this call, this decision, I need to ponder upon it, think about it first, meditate upon it before I really carry it out? And then the greatest thing that I love about God when he did this with Joseph is, before Joseph really could react and learn to respond and meditate upon it, then I believe God honored that, caused him to go to bed one night, have an amazing dream, where in this dream, guess what happened? In this dream, he began to tell Joseph, hey, you know what? This was from me. You can take her as your own. You can marry her. And Joseph woke up, believed the dream from God was his reality for his life of destiny. And he took Mary, covered her, and claimed the child as his own. And they began to what? Head towards Egypt. Head towards Nazareth. Head towards all these places God wanted them to go. And yet, at the very end of this day, so to say, of the 9-month pregnancy, you would think for a moment God would what? Deliver his son in a beautiful palace. You know, cause the world to all bow down at that moment. But he didn't. He still was sort of causing Mary and Joseph to trust him, and yet caused them to come to this, we'll call hotel, this inn, where the rooms were all filled up, they couldn't find any vacancy whatsoever. And yet at that moment, how many of us would say, there's God doing that again to me, you know, or there's the devil, there's that again, life just threw me a curve once more, and I knew this would happen, I can't even find a room, my goodness, man, I'm pregnant with God's baby, and he can't even provide for me a room, what is wrong with God? And all, isn't that what we would say? You know, God, I mean, come on, look at my reputation, you ruined my reputation, I look like I was knocked up, pardon my expression, knocked up before I was married, and then I have a, you know, I could have been stoned to death, and yet here I am, trusting you, denying my friends, moving on with this man, and all of a sudden, I come upon this inn, here I am, I'm in labor pains, and you can't even provide a room for me, God, come on. Isn't that what we'd normally say? And don't be all religious, folks. Don't say, oh, I would trust God. No, you wouldn't. You would feel the same aggravation, the same disbelief, the same frustration, because once again, guess what? God did not come through for me. But yet the reality of it all is God had a plan. God had a plan through Mary. And all he needed from Mary and Joseph was to trust me. Just trust me. And so, going to the inn, this guy says, look, I have no room, but you know what? I've got this manger, this barn. You're welcome to take this old barn. Now, think of this way, folks. Animal dung. We're going to be clean here. We'll give you rated G words here, all right? Animal dung all in this stable. You can imagine the stench, the smell was gross. Can you imagine walking in a barn? How many of you have walked in a barn before and you're having to walk, you're having to be careful where you walk? Hello, you know what I mean? You don't want to step on stuff that is nasty and gross and you're sitting here going, great, it's all over my nasty shoe, it's disgusting. How many of you would do that? How many of you could walk out of that barn, no matter how pregnant you are, because of the stench, the smell? How many of you could have a child next to an old goat, next to an old cow who's probably got saliva hanging down his mouth, disgusting, gross, feet probably have, you know, his own dung mashed between his toes? I mean, come on. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty, folks. This is disgusting, I know, but this is the reality of Mary and Joseph. And how many of you would go in there and say, really, God? I mean, here I am. We're having your child, and yet you've got me. And I could imagine probably his mouth could have been. I mean, if it was my mouth or your mouth, I'm sure we could have said a couple of choice cuss words, could we not? Or call certain things really that's gross and nasty what they really are, you know, with our gutter mouths of today. And looked at that and said, really, that's the best you can do? I mean, come on. You really want your son born in this nasty old manger where the, you know, in this trough where the cows and the goats drink from? Come on, God. And many of us would have, what, given up, gotten mad at God, turned our back on God, or done whatever we thought would be necessary because God wasn't providing us with the American way. God wasn't providing us with the amazing health, wealth, and taking care and all this other stuff. But yet, God had a plan. And Mary and Joseph, they ceased to complain, ceased to, and sure, they're probably frustrated, folks. Trust me, there wasn't a silent night, folks, all right? Guys, this wasn't a silent night, okay? It wasn't a beautiful holy night here. It was a holy night because of what was going to in taking place, but it wasn't a holy night to them, I guarantee you. They wasn't sitting there singing Christmas carols, I promise you that. And so through this, she put her baby, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, put him in a manger, set him in a trough where animals drank from. So you can imagine the nastiness of having to clean that trough out probably because there was a bunch of saliva. How many of you have a dog or cat? Now I have this amazing 17-year-old cat who is my baby, who I love dearly. Believe in God, she's going to live 900 lives, all right? But guess what? When she cleans her plate, little bowl, when we put food in it, folks, it doesn't look clean like it does when you put it in the dishwasher. It's going to have a lot of nasty spit and saliva, and you know, can you imagine a lot of spit and saliva all over that bowl and little pieces and particles of food that was left over? Gross. How many of us look at our plates in restaurants once we're done and say, man, this looks nasty? Can you imagine? Can you just imagine that type of trough, and yet you're sitting your baby in it? Just picture that for a moment. So folks, let me tell you something. We're dealing with not a silent night, not a beautiful, sweet night, but we're dealing with a scandalous, nasty, disgusting journey. But in the spirit, it was the most beautiful, most elegant, most holy of journeys that could ever be taken in life. And so when you look at your life right now and you say to yourself, why God? Why can't I pay my bills right now? Why can't I get this job I've been promised? Why can't I just sort of start my business like I had before? Why can't this, God? Me, me, me. And you know what we have to understand? We have to look at the reality of life and say, you know what? At the end of the day, God, it will be worth it. Because just like Mary's child came forth in a nasty environment, folks, he left this world in a nasty environment, did he not? Let's face the reality of it, folks. He left this world in a gruesome death, bloody, and in a disgusting way, so to say, that thieves do, but he did it in the most beautiful way that he could do it, to pay for the sins of humanity. And folks, when you enter the world in a nasty way, pardon my expression, but you get what I'm saying, you leave the world in a nasty way, we're guaranteed that, you know what, it'll all be worth it, because you'll have a legacy that will be left behind like Jesus for thousands of years to come. You'll change nations and societies and worlds. So with you, when you look at your life and you say, why this, why that, God? Just remember, your life might not look like a silent night, holy night. It might not look like all is calm and all is bright. It might stink. And how many of you have looked at your life right now and said, my life just really stinks, Jeremy, to be honest with you. I don't have a lot going for me right now. This is a bad Christmas. My father died. My mother died. I don't have a job. I can't provide that much for my children. Folks, let me tell you something. I understand. Been there, done that in my life. You know, even this Christmas with suffering from my dad who passed away 7 or 8 months ago. And it's going to be a tough Christmas. But you know what? We can choose to say, according to your word, God. According to your word, God, so be it. We have the power in us to choose and say, you know what? It's okay. It's going to get better. This wound will heal. My finances will get better. I will get a job. My children, through this Christmas, I can bring to them the best gift ever, which is a gift of love and acceptance and grace and protection. I can give my children what they really need, and that is to be a good father, to show them it doesn't matter that riches and gold does not possess my life and my joy. But what matters is I will sit there under the Christmas tree with you, beside the fireplace, watching Christmas carols or television shows or, you know, whatever it is that you do for your Christmas tradition. But I will sit there with my children, my family, my mother, my father, my survivors, from this tragedy that happened, or my friends because my parents are dead, or whatever it is in your life. And you sit there and you realize, I can give the best, valuable, most valuable thing that creation has ever not given me, and I can give what God has given me, which is more valuable than anything in this earth, and that is the power of love, the power to go on, the power to hold my head up high and realize this too shall pass. And this Christmas doesn't have to be the worst Christmas you can ever have. It can be a beautiful, wonderful, glorious Christmas for you. And it really can be a silent night, holy night. And all you have to do, and you know what? It can be all is calm, and things can be bright. And let me tell you how you do it. You begin to look within and not without. You look within at the treasure that's hidden in the earthen vessel that you are. You look inside of your life and you realize what's more valuable than money is the gold of the treasure inside of you. Inside of you, folks, I believe holds the spiritual gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The most valuable essences of that day. And guess what? You have that inside of you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. You have an unspeakable joy that the world didn't give you. You have such a power in you of hope and a bright future. You have the resurrection power of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in you. You today, folks, can change the way you view Christmas this year. And you can say, you know what? Yeah, sure, it's going to get better. And yeah, life won't be like it is in right now next year, that's for sure. I'll make sure to that. But this Christmas, I receive and I accept what's presented to me this day. See, the power of acceptance, folks, is great. You're not accepting what the devil's done for you. You're not accepting maybe God stripping you clean. What you're doing is you're accepting life right now to say, you know what? I accept what's going on right now in my today, in my now moment, and I do it with great honor and great joy. and great pleasure. You know why? Because I choose today for all to be calm, all to be bright, with the revelation of God's Word being illuminated in my spirit to say, you know what? Things will get better, but today I accept things how they are. And I love the fact that my God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And you begin to understand truly what Christmas is all about. I've talked to many people on Facebook, many people through emails, many people through life coaching who've said, well, you know what? You've talked about how much you love trees and decorations, and you have 8 Christmas trees in your house, Jeremy, and you do this and you do that because you just cause Christmas to explode. My saying here at my house, and many of you would laugh at me if you knew me personally, many of you would understand this, though, that I always say Christmas threw up in my house because I have so much of it because I love it. My father loved it. My mother loved it. My family loves it to this very day. I'm a huge believer in Christmas. But you know what? Even as things can look negative from a father's passed away point of view, even as things can look grim or dim or bad or look amazing, guess what, folks? Many people have told me, well, I can't put a Christmas tree up this year, Jeremy. I'm not happy this year. Create your joy, folks. There's an old saying that I preach on a lot, create your day. And folks, you can create your atmosphere. You can create you can energize the atmosphere with the joy of the Lord that you have. You can energize your atmosphere by saying, I choose today. You know, the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. I choose today to be happy. I choose today. You know, in the midst of misery, doubt, poverty, I choose today to be joyful. I don't want my Christmas to end up like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or maybe a first for me. I don't want this Christmas to go down in my record book of my mind to be the worst thing ever. I choose today for it to look and to be joyful because I'm recognizing and I'm realizing what makes it valuable more than any present I can get is my joy and my grace and my compassion upon others, me feeding the homeless down at the shelters, which I do, you know, all these different things. You can create, folks, the reality of what you want your Christmas to be and look like. And if you don't have a tree, let me tell you something. Here's what I tell people. You don't have a tree, shame on you. You should decorate. You might say, well, I don't have children. My parents are dead. Decorate for yourself, folks. Don't you deserve it? Don't you deserve to wake up every morning and see this beautiful Christmas tree when you plug in the lights and see the brilliant radiance of the lights on the tree? Don't you deserve for yourself to have a stocking on that mantle just to maybe play for a moment, just pretend with your imagination that, you know what, this stocking's mine. And allow God to just build up some joy in you. You are what you behold, folks. Don't use a lame excuse that Christmas is too commercialized and I don't want to, therefore I don't participate in it. Humbug on you, Scrooge, because you know what? You can create the reality of what it should look like and bring your forth the decorations. Bring forth some joy and some pleasure to yourself. I love myself. You know why I have a Christmas tree? Why I have 8 Christmas trees and a massive big Christmas party at my house every year and do the things that I do? Because you know what? I see value within me. I see God in me. And I see a man that loves God more than life itself. And I see a human being of a son of God who deserves to treat himself the way his father treats him in heaven. And you know what, folks? When you learn to value who you are and you learn to love who you are, no money in this earth can ever buy that. No money can ever bring you the satisfaction of joy and pleasure. No one can ever do that. If you don't love yourself, you can never learn to love other people. So you know what? I do it for me. Of course, I have a beautiful family, but you know what? I do it for me because I love me. So today, folks, put those Christmas trees up. Put those decorations out. Put on that Christmas music and start singing it. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Choose you this day what you want. Choose you this day the atmosphere of what you want it to look like and be. And if you're hurting today, you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. God's going to carry you through all the scandal and all the things that maybe the devil's put you through, you've put through yourself, or maybe God's put you through. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is that you look at your life today and say, you know what? I choose to have a beautiful Christmas because I'm alive and I love my God and God loves me. That's worth it, folks. That's all it is. So today I want you to be able to do me a favor. I want you to be able to go to our website, identitynetwork.net. When you go there, I want you to be able to choose an item that you want. Choose something for yourself. You might say, well, man, I've done with Christmas shopping. Then here's what I want you to do. Go to our website, identitynetwork.net. We have CDs, books, Bibles. We have children's tapes, children's toys. We have candles. We have gift novelties. We have CDs, audio downloads, e-books. We have anything and everything, schools, courses. I have all these different thousands and thousands of pieces of product. And I want you to do me a favor today, seriously. Go there today. Pray about it. Go there today. Find something for yourself. Buy something for you today. You might say, man, I've given out. I don't feel like doing this or I don't feel like doing that. Then you know what? Treat yourself to something special today. Treat yourself to something special today. Find something today you want to purchase just for you and say, you know what? Today, I want to bless myself. Show yourself some love today, folks. Because you know what? God is about giving. And sometimes we give to people, but sometimes we don't give to ourselves. Show yourself as you show others how much God's love is towards them and towards you today. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas. And I pray the very best for each one of you.